27 members have voted aye, 11 members have voted no.
And pursuant to the resolution, Article 1, that resolution is adopted and will be reported to the House.
That, with the gavel closing it at the end, was the vote for the impeachment of President Nixon in the House Judiciary Committee in 1974. And one of those 27 yes votes was cast by my first guest today, who wants to be the next U.S. Senator from New York. Besides her terms in Congress, Elizabeth Holtzman has been the Brooklyn DA and the New York City Comptroller. In addition to her work in the private sector, she also wrote a book in 2006 calling for the impeachment of President Bush, which she has discussed on this program several times. Ms. Holtzman is one of those who has met with Governor Patterson in hopes of being appointed to Hillary Clinton's Senate seat, and she is asking the media, as well as people in the political sector, for more focus on the issues in discussing who should be appointed. Liz Holtzman joins us now. Welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian, and thanks so much for having me. And it's good. It shook my memory for a moment to hear that familiar voice of Peter Rodino of New Jersey,
Congressman
the chair
from
of the
Jersey.
House Judiciary Committee way back when.
Not enough focus on the issues? You mean we shouldn't base this on how many times Caroline Kennedy says, you know?
It shouldn't be based on how many times anybody says, you know, or how many trips people have made various places, but should be made on a basis of how they're going to help the state of New York and our country. And I'm sure that's a basis on which, in the end, Governor Patterson is going to make his decision. And I have every reason to believe that he will do it on that basis. But sometimes the attention is focused not so much on what people will do, but how much, but other factors that I think aren't really quite as relevant.
Personal factors, also political factors, some of which we will get into. But what makes a good U.S. senator from New York, in your opinion?
Well, we've had some very great senators from New York, going back to Robert Wagner and passing the critical legislation during the New Deal on wages and on social conditions. We've had other great senators, including Senator Patrick Moynihan and Robert Kennedy and others. A great senator, like a great congressperson, is somebody who has his or, I hope it's a her, ear to the ground, somebody who can understand the problems of the people of the state and work tirelessly to help them, and not only in small matters, but on big matters. We are in one of the gravest economic crises in our country's history. I don't think there's a clear roadmap for how we get out of this. But somebody who's going to be our senator has to think about not only getting a fair share for New York State of whatever aid the federal government is going to provide, but also help think through with the governor and with the president new programs that are going to address this crisis. And I remember when I was elected to Congress, I was put on the House Budget Committee and when it was first formed. And it took me 6 months just to learn the vocabulary. The mm-hmm. lingo is so arcane. I think I bring very unique qualifications to this position, because not only do I have the legislative expertise, in other words, I know how you put a bill in and I know what the rules are of getting legislation through, and I know how to work with the White House and I know how to work with the Republicans. But the other thing is that I have the financial background, having been controller of New York City during the city's fiscal crisis of the early 90s, being in the House of Representatives during the New York City's fiscal crisis of the 70s. I think those are important qualities. Not that people can't learn them, but that takes time, and we are in an emergency situation now. So, if that phone mm-hmm. rings at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Not that phone.
Not that phone. That's a terrible cliche, but basically, I think those are the qualifications. But I think hard work.
It's a different phone this time. It's the AIG is going under phone.
Right. Well, I hope it's not New York State is going under phone. But I think that the senator from New York State has to have experience. I mean, look at the job that Chuck Schumer, for example, has done. I mean, he spent years in the House. He spent years in the State Assembly. And he's a very energetic guy. He brings a lot of vision to the position. And he's done basically a good job. And, you know, that's the kind of both energy and expertise and vision that we need in a senator.
My guess.
And Hillary Clinton did the same thing.
Elizabeth Holtzman, who wants to be the next U.S. Senator from New York, appointed for the moment by Governor Patterson. Give us a call if you want to talk to Liz Holtzman. You get to interview these prospective candidates. We're going to try to keep having on the people who are interested in succeeding Hillary Clinton in the Senate. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment or a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You did list just now and also in your press release from the other day key issues that you think the candidate should be compared on, including the turnaround of New York's economic and infrastructure decline, as you put it, and strengthening K-12 education and the SUNY system. Can a U.S. senator, I mean, it's one thing for a governor right now, maybe one thing for a controller right now. Can a U.S. senator have an impact on the New York State economy?
Well, I hope so, because I hope we're sending a senator to Washington who's going to be able to do something about it.
How?
I just recall, for example, I'll tell you a small thing that happened during the New York City crisis of the early 70s. One of the issues was people in the country didn't want to help New York City. They said, oh, well, who cares about New York City? You remember the headline, famous headline, Ford to New York, drop dead. So one of the things that had to be done was to build up sympathy and support for New York City around the country. I was on the House Budget Committee. I held hearings about how a default by New York City and a default on the bonds would affect the bond rates of every municipality and state around the country. And so it would cost dollars and cents to let New York City go down the drain. Well, that was very helpful in terms of generating support for the bailout of New York City.
And that's what you did then. What would you do now, specifically?
Well, so you said, dude, what can a senator do? I'm just telling you what a congressperson could do.
Okay, at that time.
At that time.
So this is my next question.
Right. What could you do now? Number one, we need to have a major infrastructure program, but one that's not just going to help other parts of the country, but an infrastructure program that could build the future for New York State, a program that will allow us to modernize our port, a program that would allow us to modernize our airports, a program that would allow us to build a far-flung system of bullet trains, perhaps even getting Canada to chip in so we could have a bullet train network taking us to Canada, Toronto, Buffalo, and points west and east. I mean, we have to build. Look, if we didn't have New York City subway system, which was built over 100 years ago, where would we be today? Well, let's build the infrastructure for the future. So what the senator from New York State has to do is not only get our fair share, but get the kinds of programs that are going to help us build our economy for the future.
And what about education? Again, since you mentioned it as an issue that needs to be discussed in your press release, isn't that more state policy than U.S. Senate?
Federal government gives a huge amount of support to education. And the point is, how can we get more money and can we get more support for education programs than we've had in the past? That's part of it. And you know, one of the jobs programs that we need is money, and we need to put people to work, and not only building bridges, not only building tunnels, not only modernizing software, not only fixing our airports and our trains and our MTA, but we need more teachers. We need more people to help in the classroom. We need more people to help with early childhood education. If we put more people to work doing that, that also is building for the future. That's the intellectual infrastructure for the future, the intellectual capital. So, yes, federal government can help support that. If we're going to spend money, those are the areas we need to be spending money on.
Would you vote to reauthorize No Child Left Behind?
Not in the present shape, no.
How would you change it?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that we need so much testing and teaching only to the test. We need to get kids at an early age interested in the excitement of learning. And we need a lot of help for teachers, smaller classes. Obviously, we don't want failing schools, but we need more help for good. We need to, the mentoring is important. Good teaching is important, smaller class size is important, and less emphasis, in my opinion, on test.
Tom in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Elizabeth Holtzman, who hopes to be the next U.S. Senator from New York. Hello. Tom, can you hear me? Okay, Tom can't hear me. Let's try Peter calling from Hunterdon County in New Jersey, peering across the Hudson River at New York's Senate. Well, I can't call it a Senate race, but in some sense it's a campaign. So, hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
What I wanted to ask was about the lack of confidence that we now have in the economic recovery plan because there's no accountability in terms of the way the money has been spent.
Well, I think that's a great question, and I'm very concerned about it. And that's, by the way, one of the things I did when I was in the House of Representatives. I insisted on accountability. Brian, that's one of the things I put on some education bills was requirement for not just auditing, but accountability, find out how the programs work, evaluation. I uncovered scandals in federally financed programs. I think that the fact that the Treasury won't tell us and the Federal Reserve won't tell us who they've funded, that's an outrage. And that's one of the things that a senator has to be able to do. Where is our money being spent, and is it being spent the right way? And that's one of the things that no one has ever said negatively about me. I'm not shy about saying to a government agency, you got to tell us the truth.
Would you vote for the second half of this TARP funding, the second $350 billion?
Maybe not without some requirement that we get disclosure about what's happening. I think that the public has a right to know, and not just the public, but you can't just throw hundreds of billions. I don't even $1 billion you can't throw away without figuring out where that money's going to and getting accountability. So, and I think there's some real question about how that program has worked. I mean, merely giving money to banks that won't turn around and lend it again, big question.
Cornelius in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Elizabeth Holtzman. Hello.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, what is your position as it is written now on the Employee Free Choice Act? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, this is a union agenda item. The publicity that it's got mostly surrounds the question of whether votes to unionize a shop would be secret ballots or open votes. What's your position on that?
Well, I think one of the reasons that we're in such an economic mess today is because, and people are doing so poorly, is because of the fact that we have a very much weakened union system in this country. And strengthening unions will go a long way to strengthening Americans' economic security. So I support those efforts.
You
to
support
strengthen
unions in general. But what about this idea of the sanctity of the secret ballot?
Well, that's fine in certain kinds of elections, but it's not necessarily fine when it's so hard to get to the point of having an election, and when you have employers sometimes using every tool in their toolkit and more to stop unionization. That's not in the end. That's not in the interests of all Americans, because unions help to protect wages of workers, and that's one of the things that's happened. If you read every article after article, the standard of living of American workers has eroded and eroded and eroded, and it's only through borrowing that people have been able to keep up at all. And that's not where we want to be. We want good wages. We want good benefits. We want a robust working force that's stable and economically sound.
Elizabeth Holtzman, my guest on WNYC, former congresswoman, former New York City controller, former Brooklyn DA, hoping to be appointed by Governor Patterson to replace Hillary Clinton. We'll call it the New York U.S. Senate sweepstakes, since it's not quite a campaign, but hopefully he won't pick the winner out of a hat, right?
Right.
You met with Governor Patterson last month about the Senate job. How did that go?
Well, it was a very nice meeting. The governor was extremely courteous. I presented my qualifications to him. I told him why I thought I could do a good job to help New York State and to help him as governor. And he said to me, well, there's no question that you can do the job. None. So I was heartened by that. And He told me I could make our meeting public, which I did. And what I've tried to do is issue statements and make points so that people will look at my candidacy, not just in terms of, what I consider to be trivial factors, but what do I stand for? What do I bring to the table, and what can I do for the people of the state?
Do you think you have any issue differences with any of the other prospective candidates, or are you all basically New York Democrats who agree on the issues, and it's a matter of who can get it done?
Well, first of all, how would you know? This is not a process in which we've basically been asked to tell our positions, but I would say one area is, for example, the war. I was outspokenly against the war in Iraq from the beginning. I marched about it. I wrote about it. I'm not sure that everybody who is seeking the Senate position was opposed to the war.
Who do you have in mind there?
I don't know. I'm not sure that everybody voted against it. I think, in addition, I've been an outspoken supporter, I think it's a little too late now, of the impeachment of George W. Bush. Nobody else who's, as far as I know, I had a chance to talk to everybody about this issue, but I don't recall that anybody certainly has taken a public position on it. I mean, one of the things I bring to the position is not only a strong background in economics and a strong record in Congress, but I also believe in upholding the rule of law and upholding our Constitution.
So would you aggressively pursue investigations into Bush administration activities if you were in the Senate, that especially ones you think may have been illegal?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't think that that's something that we have to take a lot of time with in terms of the Senate or the House. I think a special prosecutor needs to be appointed. I think probably an outside commission needs to be appointed to get at the truth of some of what happened, because we don't want a repetition of being driven into a war on a basis of false pretenses and false statements. Never again. We've had it too many times in the past, and we should learn a lesson about that, and there need to be consequences. The rule of law is really very important. I learned you started the program with that snippet from the House Judiciary Committee's hearings in 1974. It's what binds us as a democracy. It's what keeps us going. And if we don't preserve the Constitution and the rule of law, where are we? What if we hand it down to our future generations?
How do you think the Bush administration is handling the war in Gaza?
I think it's taken far too much of a hands-off position for far too long, and I think that I'm looking forward to Senator Clinton and Senator Obama's greater involvement in trying to bring about peace. I mean, I haven't been in Israel this time, but I was in Israel when Saddam Hussein sent the Scud missiles, and we had to take cover. It's a horrifying situation to be in. Nobody wants this war to continue. The people want peace, and we need to devote. Bill Clinton came inches, maybe tiny way from getting peace. We need to make those efforts because it's important not just for Israel, it's important not just for the Palestinians and the Arab world, but it's important for U.S. to be able to deal with the rest of its political and economic agenda.
So the rest of the world is calling for an immediate ceasefire. The U.S. has been much more hands-off on that. Would you join much of the rest of the world in that call? Do you think the Obama administration should?
Well, I think I don't want to speak for the Obama administration. I mean, as he said, one president at a time. And I think that right now, I think the U.S. has been too hands-off. Should it call for exactly what everybody else is calling? That's a different question. But I think we've had a foreign policy that's been a disaster in so many respects, and this is just another example. 8 years, and we've made very little progress towards peace.
One qualification that keeps getting mentioned for this job in political circles is the ability to raise lots and lots of money. That's supposed to be one argument for Caroline Kennedy. Do you think you can play at that level of fundraising?
Well, I've had to do a lot of fundraising. I ran for the U.S. Senate. I've had to raise money for that. I've had to raise money running for controller. I was able to raise millions of dollars. I think I can raise the money for this race. I think a senator, an incumbent senator from New York State, who's done a really good job, is going to be able to raise money. And take a look at Senator Obama. When he got started, who said he was going to be able to raise money, and look what he did. He did it because he offered a vision, because he offered hope, because people believed in him. And I think if you have that kind of record, you can raise money, not only from the big donors, but also from people who give in small amounts of money through the Internet and through and elsewhere. And I think the other thing, we talked about it before, people want a progressive voice from New York State. That's a tradition we've had in the past. Going back to the Great Depression, we had great senators who played a really important role in helping this country get out of the Great Depression of the 30s. And that's the kind of senator. If we have that kind of senator, that senator is going to raise the money to stay in office.
Last thing from our comments page and from a fan. It says, Elizabeth Holtzman, definitely, it would be poetic justice. She ran for Senate in late 70s or early 80s, it was 1980, right? And was
right.
Done out of it by the late Senator Javits, who ran as an independent. As a result, the Democrats' votes were split, so D'Amato won. Is that an accurate telling of history?
Accurate.
Would it be poetic justice?
Definitely. Let's get some poetry into Washington.
All right. Elizabeth Holtzman ran for Senate, been New York City Comptroller, Brooklyn DA, Member of Congress, Watergate Committee in 74, and wants Governor Patterson to tap her to replace Hillary Clinton. Thanks a lot for coming on. Good luck.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
And
bye-bye.
We're continuing to invite all the people who want to be considered by Governor Patterson, and we'll continue to have them on. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.